After you do that into the microphone.
Oh, it's gone everywhere. I've juiced myself. Would you like a juice box?
No, I wouldn't. Not now. Not now. You've ruined it.
I have two for every record.
That's an overload.
Orange juice and a chalky milk. Hello and welcome along to You Have Been Watching with Luke and Elliot, the podcast that invites a different guest each episode to choose some of their favourite telly shows. They'll be asked to pick four separate shows from each of our categories and a couple of bonus choices as well. Why? Because they've won our made-up competition to spend a weekend away at our luxurious travel lodge in the heart of Preston. It's not our luxurious travel lodge.
We wish.
We don't own it.
I wouldn't mind the ground rights.
I tell you what, though, they've gone up. They've gone up in quality. That's all I'm saying.
Travelodge?
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. We'd much prefer them to Premier Inn.
Yeah.
And we're happy to say that.
I'm happy to say that now.
It wasn't at the start, probably.
Good God, no. Seriously. Oh, hell and high water.
Yep.
That's all that was.
She's a friend of mine. So leave her out.
But now, oh, Kit Kats galore. Although the Premier Plus rooms at a Premier Inn, quite good.
Never had one.
Well, you wouldn't. Not your sort. Never not your like. You've clicked on, so you know, we have got actor and, I'm going to say viral star. Is that, would he like that?
I don't know.
We wouldn't like that.
It's a fact, though, isn't it?
It is a fact.
He shot up big time, didn't he? About 2021, he did those viral videos. They were truly hilarious.
Yes, it's Johnny Weldon. Didn't get to the end of his sentence, but it's Johnny Weldon. He did do those viral videos, which does help, doesn't it? It does help because it put him in front of casting directors.
Well, either way, it's helped because he's currently starring in One Day, which is just one of the bloody biggest shows on the planet at the moment.
It is number one at time of record in the UK. I'm sure it will be at the time of release as well. I haven't watched it yet. I am getting round to it. I've got me bloody nuts deep in The Crown at the moment.
I don't think anyone's ever said that before.
Well, I think someone has. Prince Charles.
And I have watched it and I thought it was absolutely brilliant. So we're looking forward to chatting to him a little bit about that as well. He's been in some other TV shows you may recognise him from. Breeders, Statlet's Flats, Brassic, House of the Dragon, The Outlaws, Sneakerhead, etc. He's been doing a lot of background comedy, a lot of small parts in comedies, and he's truly found his feet with One Day. Absolutely brilliant.
Absolutely. If not, I think he was Muddles in Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs in Kent in Maidstone one Christmas.
I didn't see that one.
You didn't see that one. No, you were too busy being a policeman in Aladdin, I can tell you, that year.
Which was the year his viral video started to come out, and it got us through, didn't it? We were sharing around the cast. It was really lovely.
We're going to talk about it as well, I should imagine, but he starred as Jasper in 101 Dalmatians at the Regent's Park Open Air Theatre, which reminds me, do you remember when we made our own TV show when we were 7 years old called Jasper and Horace?
I thought that was coming when I saw the word Jasper.
Yeah.
Yes, I do. Would you like to explain to the listeners who they were?
Well, it was essentially Laurel and Hardy, but Jasper and Horace, the two evil henchmen in 101 Dalmatians. It didn't get commissioned, but it was in the development stage.
And when we say the development stage, we mean that we acted it on the playground and at our houses and round country parks.
Well, I've still got the pieces of paper. Yeah, we wrote it on a piece of paper in Alice Holt, which is like a national park, whatever it's called.
Yeah,
what do they call it?
A country park, I suppose.
What are the things we get? The
National Trust.
National Trust, that's what I'm about. Because you get the stickers in the windscreen, don't you? And you go, oh, they're middle class.
We actually had a National Trust pass for a year once, and it allows you to go into these places for a year. And that was pre the dog.
Did you have to buy that?
Yeah. Oh, 100%.
Well, see, my dad's got it free and he works for the NHS, as do yours. So they're not getting something there.
It might just have been a pass to this one specific national country park then.
That's quite dull.
Yeah, my God it was, because you have to go all the time to get your money's worth.
Who wants to go to the same National Trust park week in, week out?
I know. Boring as sin.
Good God. No wonder you've turned out the way you have. Well, yes, we wrote 10 episodes, which I must say is quite a thing to aim for. 10 episodes, half an hour each. Yeah. We thought BBC were going to take that. They don't do three these days, for God's sake.
But I have to say, the idea of a spin-off from 101 Dalmatians via the villains is something that Disney Plus would pick up now.
Yeah, they would.
They wouldn't cast us, of course.
Wouldn't cast us, they'd cast Johnny Weldon. You're going to listen to him right now. Please do follow us on social media. We are on Instagram at Luke and Elliot Comedy. Please do chuck some stars across on Spotify for the podcast. It really does help the algorithms.
If you like the cut of Johnny Weldon's jib, you can follow him on his socials, at Johnny Weldon on Insta and at Johnny Weldon on X and TikTok. And if you don't, then I suppose you probably switch off halfway through and you never hear the rest of it.
Or be very nice, keep it playing, but mute it.
That's
because
fair.
Then we get the listens up, you see.
That's fair.
It's nice to be nice. Anyway, enjoy. So here on You Have Been Watching, we imagine that our special guest has won a weekend away to a hotel room in Preston, where all they can do is lie back and watch telly. They'll be choosing four of their favourite ever TV shows, and we'll be hearing why they've chosen them and what it means to them. In and amongst all that, we'll also ask them which television personality they want to spend their weekend with and what they'd like to eat.
Our guest today is a hazel-eyed 5'4", according to his Spotlight, powerhouse of a comedy actor, famous for his online viral sketches, his theatre work, and now his starring role in one of Netflix's biggest British TV successes. It's the outstanding Johnny Weldon. Welcome to the show, Johnny.
Hello, and that is the first time my height has come up as the first thing to describe me. So it's nice to have a first.
And he says that because he's about 6'2", so he splashes that around everywhere willy-nilly.
There's
nothing wrong with 5'7".
Funnily enough, I started putting, I've never really used TikTok ever, right? And I started putting videos on TikTok since the show came out. And one of the first comments I got was, "How tall are you?" They've like obviously watched one day, and that's the only thing that they care about. But now they know, thanks to you guys. So thanks for helping me out there.
People are really freaky with that kind of thing, aren't they? You don't want to know what they're doing with that information.
I know. What's it for? But no, thanks so much for having me on, guys. And I love your show, and I'm thrilled to be here.
Well, it's our pleasure to have you. The only reason I bring up the height thing, I'm not gloating. It's because we had a little look at your Spotlight. You know, we know what it's like as actors, you know, and what Spotlight game is all about. And we looked at your highly skilled. We just thought for a little bit of a laugh.
Because
this is always quite funny. Now, you are a highly skilled, correct me if I'm wrong, a pool player and a rollerblader, and I'm assuming not at the same time. Now, have those skills ever been put to the test in an acting capacity?
What did you say? So it's a snooker player and pool player.
You tell me.
Can't play snooker to save my life, but pool, bloody pass me the cue. And what was the other one?
Rollerblading.
Okay, so the rollerblading one, yeah, it has been. But pool is yet to happen. So if you see me on a kind of advert in a year, you know, playing with Ronnie O'Sullivan, that's, you know, whatever. But I went to audition for a Christmas show at the Royal Durngate in Northampton, and it was the Snow Queen, and the character was like this kind of fast, wild, like Bart Simpson-esque young guy who was like a kind of outdoorsy adventurer. And in the audition, he literally did that thing. He looked at my CV and went, "Sizzy, you can rollerblade." And I went, "Yeah." I mean, like, you know, as much as anyone who's been on a pair of rollerblades before, that I should not have a star next to it, let's face it. And then we did it, and it was in the show. But I did that thing of, like, just say you can do it, get the job, learn to do it, you know? But I also once had to skateboard for a commercial. But that didn't go. I was auditioning for a commercial for, this was years ago, for Des Hamilton. And in the audition, the first round of auditions, he said, it was for a commercial. He said, "Just improvise. You're in the skate park. Just do some improvisation, like whatever lads talk about in a skate park." That was the first audition. really weird.
That is our worst nightmare, isn't it? That is literally our worst nightmare.
Come on, bruv, go on, skate there.
Yeah, literally, with somebody you just met, awful. Got a recall. In the recall, we had to do more of that and chat to the client about skateboarding. And the producer had a photo of, like, a half pipe, like, it looked like it was out of fucking Tony Hawk's. And they went, he literally said, if we give you this job, can you go up and down it on a skateboard? And I just was like, 19, really wanted to work. I just said, "Yeah, of course I go. Yeah, no problem, mate. Absolutely fine." Then got it, and I'd literally never been on a skateboard ever in my life. I wasn't a skate kid. And then a couple of mates of mine had just moved into a new house, and the previous owners had left a skateboard in their garden. So I went up and down the road on it twice, thought, "Yeah, I'll be fine." Turned up on the day. It was awful. I was like falling over. And then when it came out, they cut me out the whole thing. But I still got paid, and that's the most important bit.
Oh, that's nice. That's good.
Well, that turned out all right in the end, but that must have been a humiliating day.
It really, really embarrassing. If a casting director listens to this as well, they can think, "We'll just never believe anything he says ever." What? God, so poor. I mean, Yeah, I can play pool. Highly skilled, I don't know. I can play pool.
I had that before. I was doing this pilot thing for Netflix, and I just put, can you row? Yes, I can row. Turned up on the day, and there was this kayak on a massive lake, and I didn't see any trained crew to be able to help me. It wasn't a kayak, actually. It was a canoe, which is even worse. And I was 25 stone at the time, and it was not great. So I had to bundle myself into this canoe. They just pushed me out. I was dressed as a duck, and it was the peak of summer. So I had
What was the job?
It was some pilot for Netflix. It was like quirky characters who had got, you know, brought to life or something.
It wasn't
like
Bridgerton.
That. It wasn't Bridgerton, no. And I was sweating because I didn't know what I was doing. So this green was just dripping down my face into the lake, turning the lake green as I'm having to try and paddle round in the middle of like Southampton, not knowing what I'm doing. Unsurprisingly, it didn't get a full season, but yeah, it can get you into trouble.
That sounds a nightmare. You could have quack sized.
That's very good.
Come on.
That's good, that. You got any paid gigs coming up?
No. On my highly skilled, it says joke teller.
I do want to talk, though, about when you did 101 Dalmatians at the Regent's Park Open Air Theatre. That is insane. So we haven't been to this venue, but we imagine it's very much just like Shakespeare at the Globe. It's outside, right? Was that really tough to do?
It's not set out like the Globe, but it's like a Greek kind of amphitheatre where the stage is at the bottom and the seats go up and it kind of goes sort of around it. I've been there loads of times and seen some of their really great work, and I'd auditioned for it a couple of times. And then, yeah, the audition came through for 101 Dalmatians, had a couple of recalls, got it. I remember on day one, they kind of said, it's a no-brainer, but there's no roof, right? We all kind of knew that, but they had to sort of tell us. And they said, so it's very unpredictable. There's things like there's no blackouts, so all the scene changes are done on stage. Anything can happen. There's the American ambassador lives in Regent's Park, so you get a lot of helicopters going over, a lot of security. There's a lot of birds. There's a lot of bird poo. There's a lot of things going on. There's a lot of people that, you know, and the rain. So there was all these factors as well as just putting on a show. But when we did it, we didn't have any rain. It was there was a heat wave. It was like the hottest day on record, and the show was about skinning dogs and wearing their fur. So everyone's costume was kind of like, you know, kind of Cruella de Vil furry cloaks. So we didn't have any rain stops, but we had heat stops. And we had ice packs sewn into our costumes, and it was like Wimbledon. Like, you'd go out and there were people fainting, there was people vomiting, there was like fully grown men who'd just taken their tops off, and you're doing a family-friendly 101 Dalmatians musical. But yeah, it was great. I'd not been part of a new musical before, so there was lots of kind of like collaborating and creating it, and it was nice to work in London, really. You don't really get to do that mega often, you know.
Okay, moving on from theatre to TV, we've got to briefly touch upon One Day, Johnny. You'll understand that it's been an absolute mega hit sensation. You'll have heard all the stats. I know Netflix don't release them, but we know it's at least 15 million people. It's the world's most watched British TV show on Netflix, all of this. I know you've been asked this a lot, but has it just been overwhelming because it was filmed so long ago?
Yeah, it's been a really mad few weeks now. And yeah, you know, I think this time of year is usually very quiet for actors. Like, you usually go do a panto or whatever and then just be depressed until about July. But this has been a mad start to the year. Yeah, filmed it back in 2022 during Regent's Park. Actually, there were some days when I would rap on filming One Day, and then they would drive you to Regent's Park, and then I'd go straight into doing it. There was a week when I was doing the show and filming at the same time. It was quite intense. So filmed it way back then. Last year was like ADR and kind of all that stuff. And then, yeah. So the show came out a month ago, and it's just been mad. It's been mad. It's been amazing. It's so many things. Some days it's amazing, some days it's a bit overwhelming. Often it just feels like you're living someone else's life because you just step into these shoes of like kind of like being recognized in the street and getting like a mad amount of like direct messages from people that you don't know. But it's great. It's just come with so much excitement, you know, and getting to go and do cool things and go to cool events and all of that stuff. It's great. It's really great.
We heard you say this story recently on Lorraine. you were on holiday when the self-tape request came in, right? How close were you to thinking, oh, I won't bother with that. I'm not going to get it. I'm on holiday. I'm enjoying myself. Let's not do that one because I do 100 of these and none of them go through. How close were you to thinking, oh, bugger that?
I'm going to dig out. I'm going through my emails. I'm going to dig out the one day self-tape request and use the exact words that appeared. Here we go. Hey, Johnny, hope you're well. I'm aware this is a clash with your holiday in Scotland, because I was on, as you said, my wife's family's annual getaway too. And also it was my first holiday with her family. So like I had to be perfect. And yeah, shoot dates may interfere with Regent's Park. So it's okay to pass, but I wanted to share with you. Sorry to your wife. Right, that was from my agent. And I kind of, well, I didn't have a ring light. So literally because of that, I was like, it's too much effort, you know? And yeah, it was my wife who said she was a huge fan of the book. I'd not read the book at that point. And she said, you got to do it. You got to go for it. And the character description was brilliant. It said, let me see if I can find it. Ian made the move to London to pursue a stand-up career, deeply unpopular at school. He found a favour by playing the class clown. I mean, God, this character description is mad. But everything about it, it's huge. Everything about it was like, it looked great. It was like socially awkward, struggling comedian, thinks he's funny, not very funny. And I was like, that sounds brilliant. And so got on Amazon, got a ring light, delivered the next day. Now, I can't tell you how remote the Isle of Arran is. You have to take a ferry about an hour to get there. It's got a population of about 12. And I thought, there's no way. Amazon do next day delivery to this tiny island. It went to the wrong house. So I had to like get Lucy's dad, my wife's dad, to drive me, go and get the ring light, got back. Finally filmed it, sent it off, and then a week later, met one of the directors, and then had the chemistry read, and then got it.
Wow, that is pretty amazing. I mean, thank God your wife told you to do it.
Yeah, I mean, Lorraine said to me, so I hear you nearly didn't audition, and I was like, no, I'd have always auditioned. I will audition for anything, but it was more like the kind of logistical nightmare of having to do an audition whilst you were away. My wife was like, she's a big fan of the book and her family loved the book. And then I read it and I was like, oh my God, this is fantastic. Just such a great, great opportunity to have.
Wow, amazing, life-changing. Well, nice of Lorraine to turn up and host that day, wasn't it?
Yeah, I know, a rare occasion, you got
her. Truly brilliant, I've seen it, Elliot's just about to start it, he's in for a bumpy ride, it's terrific, you're terrific, Johnny. So
thank you.
Keep, well, there's nothing else for you to do, I suppose, keep at it, I suppose. Keep up the acting, won't you?
keep doing that well.
Yeah, but you've got to have a trade, you've got to have a backup, yeah, you know what I mean?
Yeah, you have to, it's so funny, I just went home for the weekend and usually my family are a bit like, oh, you know, like see you at Christmas. And then but this time I just got paraded around from relative to relative so they could sit there and be like, you know, he's off the telly. And people would just say things to me like, have you met anyone famous since it's come out? And that was like the kind of go-to question. We could talk about so many things, but met anyone famous?
Also, what was your answer? Because you have to give a very specific type of celebrity then to your family, don't you? That they know.
Lorraine.
Yeah. Yeah, fair.
It was on telly.
Amongst all this as well, you're also training for the London Marathon. How on earth do you begin to train for something like that? Are you fitting in the hours at like 4 a.m. before working?
I did a 10K at 8 o'clock last night in the evening. I was out running in high vis through the streets of North London. You just have to do it. So this is my third one. And the first one I did went great. Really delighted with it. The second one, I kind of was like, ah, well, I'll be fine. And then on the day, it went very, very badly. And I was in severe, probably like the most desperately painful, agonizing situation I've ever been in. Like, it was awful. And I cried in Pizza Express after in front of my wife. And I was like, I will never, ever do it. And I meant it, I'd never do it again. And then I watched it last year from the sidelines. And I thought, I'm going to do that again. So basically, my wife's mum passed away in 2019 from ovarian cancer. And I emailed Target Ovarian, who are kind of the only charity to do with that. And it's a very kind of like, there's no screening for it, like other forms. And it's slightly less mainstream of those, you know, subsets of cancer, I guess. So as a smaller organization, they only have like 10 spaces and they just gave it to me. You know, I just said, I want to run the marathon, and they gave me a spot. And yeah, so I've been training now. I think I'm on week 10. I started during our honeymoon in Thailand. I've got this theme of like going on holiday with my wife and then needing to go off and do really selfish things, clearly. So I started training beginning of January on our honeymoon. And yeah, but it's ridiculous now. Every weekend I'm up to like, this weekend is 16 miles I have to run this weekend. And you finish it and it's not even like there's people waiting for you to say, well done. It's like, that's just a training run. And then you've got to carry on with your day and go and, you know, do what you do. It really is crazy. But, you know, I'm just trying to raise money for them, and the day itself is, as you can imagine, just, it's great.
Well, the actual training sounds absolutely crap to me, but the end result completely worth it. How can people donate to the cause? How can people donate to your marathon?
Yeah, thank you. So if you go on my social media in the bio, I've got the little link tree thingy-majig, and there's a fundraising page on there. It should just say Johnny Weldon, Target Ovarian Fundraising type thing. And yes. Oh, actually, you guys would be good for this because you seem like fun, creative guys. I want to do a thing where if people like donate an X amount, like a lot, I'll do something. My first thought is, if somebody donates like a grand, I will dress as anything they want and run it, right? Because I'm trying to incentivize people to give big amounts of money. But then my wife was like, yeah, but they could make you dress up as like something really inappropriate or something really like heavy. So if you think of any things that I can do to be like, give me this and I'll do this.
I'll give you £5 if you dress up as the unknown from the Glasgow Willy Wonka experience.
I'll do that. You don't need to give me a fiver. I'll do that.
If you want the cameras to be on you, that one will do it.
Boil on my face. I keep seeing loads of actors on TikTok who are like, yeah, I'm the guy. That's me. But I've seen like 10 different actors.
It can't all
forward.
Be them, can it? So someone's lying.
It's so funny. It's so good. They were on Willy Wonka and the Oompa Loompas on Cameo.
What a world we live in, honest to God.
I saw the Oompa Loompa was on Good Morning Britain, and I thought that was a step too far. But Cameo, what can you do?
Cameo. Willy Wonka's doing a one-man show at the Glasgow Comedy Festival. He's been plugging that.
No,
I love it.
That can't be true. That's not true.
Yeah, I love it. I love it so much. I really hope that like one of them wins an Oscar in 5 years or something. Do you know what I mean? It's the beginning of their career.
That's amazing. Let's get on to it. Congratulations, Johnny Weldon. You've won a luxury weekend break to the idyllic city of Preston, where you'll be spending all your time in the finest twin bedroom Preston's Travel Lodge has to offer. It's common knowledge that there's little to do in Preston other than to sit in bed all day and watch television. We hope you have a pleasant stay. So we are going to whisk you off to Preston for a weekend, and we're going to give you a memory stick. On this memory stick, which is really modern, is going to be 4 television shows that you're going to watch on repeat throughout the entire weekend. There's a couple of bonus choices in there as well, but we'll get onto those a little bit later. But the first TV show is a show that makes you think of your childhood.
Well, first thing I say, I'm looking forward to this weekend because I love a hotel room. They're just one of my favourite things. And I love being alone. And that's really weird. I used to be, like in my early 20s, I just desperately needed to be around people. But now I'm 30. I truly enjoy being by myself. So I can't wait. Although there is a companion, isn't there, that will come to that. But on the whole, I'm delighted. So, okay, so my childhood TV show. I thought long and hard about all of this. And my answer is Dick and Dom in the Bungalow.
Oh, fantastic. Oh, I've waited weeks and weeks and months for this. Fantastic. Where to begin? What does it mean for you?
Well,
tell
I think
us all
that,
about
like,
it.
I mean, I basically, when I was at school, I didn't want to do anything that you were meant to do. Like, I didn't want to learn anything. I didn't want to do any work. This is how I went into acting, because my mum was like, he clearly desperately just wants to be disruptive and attention-seeking. Farm him off to drama classes. And then, so I just enjoyed messing around and being silly and being kind of like, yeah, like messing around with the teachers and whatever. And then on a Saturday morning, so A, it's a Saturday, it's on TV and you're not at school. And it's the TV show where adults were being ridiculous with kids. So it was like, adults were, it was just my favourite thing. Just to see adults do ridiculous things with kids on TV on a Saturday. I mean, like, I'm looking at what I wrote. Yeah, I mean, the first thing that comes up is just bogeys. Just watching two men in a library shout bogeys with the little bogey nose thing in the corner and the voice, and like the really posh voiceover guy. Yeah, I just look back and just remember thinking, this is the funniest thing I've ever seen. I've never seen anything funnier than two men shouting bogeys whilst I'm not at school.
It was chaotic, wasn't it? Didn't Dominic Wood get kicked out of the Magic Circle because he did that on, he did his tricks on Dick and Dom and the Bungalow, and they were like, you can't tell people how you do it. And he went, I don't care. And he just did the trick and went, that's how I've done it. Ta-da!
And that's it. He got kicked out.
He got kicked out of the Magic Circle, yeah.
Wow. I sat next to Dick on a train recently. I didn't say anything, but I was just starstruck.
What was he doing? What was he up to? Was he on the iPad or reading the Metro?
No, we were sat next to each other in first class. Neither of us were meant to be there, but it was one of those trains. It was like the ones up to Manchester. It was so packed that everybody sat wherever. And I sat next to Dick and I thought, I was in somebody else's seat waiting for them to come along and say, excuse me.
Dom's seat.
And then, exactly. Next thing you know, somebody comes along to Dick. You're in my seat to Dick. And I thought, bloody hell, Dick's not even... I thought he'd just be there because he's Dick from Dick and Dom. I thought he'd just be in first class. He got kicked out. And then I stayed there next to a stranger.
He's carried on being a maverick later in life. And now he's doing DJ sets.
It's come up fleetingly, Dick and Dom in the Bungalow. And we've mentioned it a tiny bit, but we've never done it in depth. I mean, it was just so brilliant because it was just so anarchic. And then for our age group, we're just a little bit younger than you. But for our generation, we didn't have Live and Kicking or whatever those shows were in the 90s or The Big Breakfast and stuff. So that was our thing, wasn't it? Our chaotic little dose of something at the weekend. Oh my God, the creamy muck, the cream pies. The kids were just always so hyper and too hyper for TV now. There's so many great clips. Like there's a bit where there's a little girl and she's won a competition or something in the show. And they bring out a little Shire horse or whatever, a pony. And they say, you see this pony? Do you like this? Do you want to have this pony? And she goes, yeah, I would, yeah. And they go, well, you can't. It's not yours. And they just wheel it straight off.
It's just brilliant. And I think as well, like when you're a kid, you know, I must have been about, I don't know, 7 years old and I was watching that. And like parents and adults just were all so boring. And like to be an adult was awful. And who wants to be grown up? Yet there were these two men who were adults, sort of, but they were just sort of kids, really. And they were just sort of this gateway into like a kind of alternative adulthood. And I was like, everything about this, I just want to live in this world. We even applied for it, didn't get on, but I, you know, went on our kind of like Windows 95 old PC at home and applied, never got on. I'd have absolutely loved it. And I did Panto. Do you remember the Geordie police officer?
Yes.
I've done Panto with him since.
That's amazing. What was that like? Was he really happy, or was he like most kids TV presenters now and a little bit sad?
He was, he's the dame in St. Albans. I did Panto with him there. And he was all right. I think he quite liked it. And then after that, he went to do like Dick and Dom Live, like the arena tour. Arena, you know.
Portsmouth Guildhall.
Yeah. And he came out. And I saw a video on his Instagram. He came out standing ovation, about 5 minutes.
Oh, wow.
And there was just so many weird things. I think he did the voice for the cat as well, which I saw, like, it came through the thing, and I saw a clip the other day, and it was 7 minutes of his cat coming through a letterbox and going, Stoke-on-Trent, I love Stoke-on-Trent, and just listed everything about Stoke-on-Trent.
There was that kind of, like, basement as well, where they'd go down there and be locked in cages and do games. There was this sort of, like, quite nice bungalow and then down underneath. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
It was like Saw for kids, that
really
basement.
Was.
Let's move on then to your second TV show. And this is the TV show that gets you laughing. What gets you hee-heeing?
Like, obviously, like any actor that wants to do funny stuff and try and make people laugh, like British comedy or just, you know, sitcoms, whatever, have just been the kind of, like one of my lifelong obsessions. And I'm torn between two answers. There's one thing. So one of my answers is Staffelet's Flats, right? Which I ended up being in for about 5 seconds. And that was like a crazy, surreal experience. But my, because I just think it's one of the funniest sitcoms and one of the most great unique performances by James Dimitriou. But my other answer is Married at First Sight Australia. Have you seen Married at First Sight?
Only seen clips. I've never seen a full episode. I know people go mad for it. M-A-F-S.
It's the craziest shit I've ever seen. So my wife will watch anything, like any reality TV, Real Housewives, what's the other one? She like Married at First Sight, any of them. And she put on Married at First Sight Australia in the lockdown. She kind of convinced me to watch it. And I was like, I kind of linger like a dad in the lounge. You know, like if the child is watching TV and the dad sort of stands at the door with his arms folded or his hands on his hips and goes, what's been? That was like how it started with Married at First Sight. And then before you know it, I was like closer to the TV than my wife. Like, next episode, please. So it's this mad TV show in Australia. And it's always around all over the world. But, the one in Australia, particularly successful. And it's just these couples that are like, you know, they're looking for love. And they get paired up by this love doctor and they meet for the first time saying their vows. So they're married at first sight and then they go on. And I mean, it's hard to explain, but it's just insane what these people do. And the way they pair them up, these like ridiculous kind of like couples that should never be together, and they marry them and then they stick them in a room and say good luck. It's terrible. You're watching just people have meltdowns live on TV and it's hilarious.
Is there an example of an odd pairing which has really actually done well and they've ended up falling in love?
No.
Ah, okay. So I think the love doctor needs to perhaps get a reappraisal of his qualifications.
There was one couple that are married and now have kids, and they hit it off from the start, but no one has ever not hit it off from the start and got together, in my experience. I mean, there was like a guy...
In your experience?
In my experience. There was a couple the other day I was watching. He was like a builder, a labourer, and he was like an absolute geezer. Like, everything was kind of matter of fact. And she was into kind of like alternate medicine and meditation and chanting. And like, we were just watching this builder get married, and he was just being like covered in chicken feathers and sand as she was like chanting at him, whilst the bridesmaid like danced around her like something out of The Crucible. And you just watch it again. This is some mad shit, and it's hilarious. You know, like I nearly picked a sitcom, and I sort of have with Staffelet's Flat. The best thing about Married at First Sight is you're not watching people try to be funny; you're just watching people live their lives, and it's hilarious.
Is there one standout, absolutely insane thing? I mean, that does sound pretty insane what you've just said. But anything else that was just utterly, utterly hilarious and bemusing?
There was a moment when a woman was talking to her husband about the loss of her father, and she was crying, and it lasted for about 5 minutes, and she was so deep. And at the end, he went, I'm so sorry. I just like, sometimes when you're talking, I just zone out.
Oh,
and I remember thinking that is one of the most awful things I've ever seen. And you just sit there and watch you say, I can't believe this is real.
Okay, so it's a toss up between that and Staffelet's Flat. That has come up once before, so we have spoken about it. We absolutely adore it. We adore Jamie Dimitriou. Yeah. We have well before his TV days. We've become a bit friendly with Ellie White in recent years as well, and she's amazing in it as well. They all are, the whole ensemble. You were great in it as well, Johnny, for you, your short cameo.
It's nice of you to say that. Yeah, I was in it for all of 3 seconds, and I mainly just spent the day looking at Jamie Dimitriou going, how do you do it? But thank you.
But is it going to be Married in First Sight, or is it going to be Staff?
It's going to be Married at First Sight Australia. That show makes me howl.
Let's move on then to your first bonus choice. And this is the television personality that you're going to take with you to Preston to watch these shows with for the entire weekend. You get to spend the whole weekend with them.
Yeah. So my initial thought was Mr. Blobby. And I thought that the thing that would be really good for Mr. Blobby is... And I realised after thinking all this, it's not going to work. Because I thought, it will be hilarious. I'll be around someone who's very funny, nostalgic, reminds me of my youth. If you went out, and then I thought, I forgot that we're in a hotel room. But if you went out and you went into Tesco's, A, everyone would make a fuss over you. It's quite nice to be made a fuss over, right? And you could just watch Mr. Blobby destroy the place. And no one's going to tell you off because Mr. Blobby, and it's kind of what he does. And you could just sort of revert back to childhood for a couple of days. It'd be hilarious. But then I thought, I'm not leaving the hotel room. So that's like the worst person I could have with me. Somebody that's just kind of destroying the tiny kettle and the shortbread biscuits that, you know, in the room. So I've decided to go for a pet companion. and I want Pudsey from Ashley and Pudsey.
Oh, fantastic. Well, we'll resurrect him from the start.
Yes, because he's dead.
Because he's dead.
Unbelievably, that has been a pick before for the companion.
They wanted the blobby in the room.
Yeah, she was a bit mad, to be fair. And we were asking her if she meant like the bloke in a costume or if she meant the real Mr. Blobby. And she chose the real Mr. Blobby. But she was a bit nuts, wasn't she, Lindsay?
Yes. It turned out at the end, after all the choices, that they all included bald men as protagonists. Including Blobby Blob.
And including her snack, which was rice, which looks a little bit like a small white bald man.
So it's not going to be Blobby Blob. It's going to be Pudsey from Ashley and Pudsey.
Yeah.
Is this because he's a very good boy and will just chillax with you? You obviously can't leave the room for a walk, so you can just do laps of the bed.
Well, I think I don't really... I just thought it was terrible, but if I can, I'll just sort of avoid people, right? And I think if I'm with a person, within about the first 15 seconds, I'll go, I hate you. I can't bear this, right? And now I've got to spend 2 days with you. Like if they talk too much or whatever, I just go driving mental. So dog can't talk, number one, brilliant.
That's the only thing he couldn't do on Britain's Got Talent, to be fair.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Still won, though.
Yeah, otherwise he could have said, please don't put me down. It's just my leg.
Yeah, yeah, so I'd just sit next to him. I'd stroke him a lot. We'd watch telly together. And then when I get a bit bored of watching Marilyn First Out Australia, I'll just make him sort of like do a dance or something. And I think Ashley follows me on Instagram. So there's an in.
There you go. Lucky you. But also, obviously, he is dead. So it's hypothetical. But that's fine. We can have dead people or fictional people. Is it just Pudsey personally that you love? Or is it just you love dogs and so you want a fairly famous one?
Oh, yeah. No, I love dogs. I love all dogs. Like, I love animals. There's my cat right there. He's
licking his bollocks.
Well, he doesn't have any, but there you go.
Well, female cat, of course.
We cut them off. But
not he's a male cat, but he's being castrated.
He's a male cat, but we chopped his bollocks off. Yes. Otherwise, they spray on your furniture.
Oh, did you do that yourself, or did you get a medical professional?
DIY. We couldn't afford it at the time.
You got a love doctor.
Amazing what you can do with a pair of scissors. God, that's awful. Yes, so, no, I love dogs, but I also love dogs that will sort of like dance for you if you're a bit bored, and I think that's what Pudsey, bless his soul, RIP, used to do. Yeah,
I think that's nice. You can take Pudsey of Ashley and Pudsey now, Ashley and Sully fame.
Oh, Ashley and Sully, is it now?
Ashley and Sully, yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, she moved on quick.
Is it a similar style dog? Well, it's breed, I should say.
I can't see what Sully looks like. Oh. I haven't got time to read Pudsey's death and after
Pudsey that. Pudsey was euthanized on the 20th of July 2017. He had terminal leukemia. I didn't even know dogs could get that.
What a life he had. One of the most famous dogs of our recent time.
He lived, though, didn't he? He lived.
But she's got a border collie now, Sully, who is a Chinese crested powder puff. I had some of that last night.
Is that one also sort of like doing backflips and stuff?
Well, you'd hope so.
I think so. It does pantomime with her.
Yes.
So you'd think so. You think it. Let's move on then to your third TV show. And this is the TV show that gets you sweating, gets your blood pumping, gets you on the edge of your seats.
Yeah, well, you know, I thought about things like Breaking Bad and The Wire and all of those kind of big hitting dramas that you go, oh my God, we've got to watch the next episode. But genuinely, there's only been one TV show recently where I have literally been on the edge of my seat with my hands over my face, and that's The Traitors.
I knew you were going to say that from the way you were shaping up.
The second season when, I'm terrible with names. Is it Molly? Is that her name?
Molly, yes, and Harry.
Wrote Harry and then removed it. I probably was dripping in sweat. I've never been more invested in anything ever. I think The Round Table is some of the best TV. And the way they edit it and the music and the way you get invested in the characters. Skip over the games. Skip over the...
That's exactly what I think. What is the point of the games? I'd rather see an uninterrupted 1.5 hours of The Round Table.
Yeah, I think so. Or like... Because the thing is from the games is that you don't really kind of get any sense. Everyone's happy. The Round Table the night before, they could have said anything to each other. When they're doing the games, when they're ziplining, whatever, they're all best friends. Boring. I don't want to see them like each other. I want to see the politics. I like it when there's little cameras of them like snooping around, going in the library, whatever. Just give us that.
And they all work together for these games, which is absolutely insane. Surely it should be like Trapped, where the traitors are trying to, you know, fuck it up a little bit and try and get some of the money out because they get some more. Surely that would make it more exciting.
You know what I'd watch? I'd rather watch over the games. Do you remember when, and I know it's just come back, so I don't know if they still do that, but on Big Brother, there was just that one channel that was just 24 hours. It was just live, uninterrupted. I'd just watch that.
I used to watch that for hours and hours. It was on E4 and it was 24/7 and you could literally just watch it. But because they wanted things for highlights or they were swearing, there was a 10-second delay. So there would just be chunks where you would just hear birds tweeting a lawnmower going where they just had to blank out the sound. It was fucking great though.
They were talking about which celebrity they slept with. And it got leaked to the Daily Mail. If a bird was tweeting, you know that was what was going on. Yeah, I'm not bothered about it when I have to watch them go into a hut and try and find the stars or whatever. I just want the round table and the murdering. I think it's brilliant. I think it's some of the best TV. I love it.
Have you perused some of the other traitors? So the US version presented by Alan Cummings, or have you done the Australian one?
No, we probably should. We nearly did. Our cat, we would have, but Stanley was trying to destroy our TV. But I met Paul, actually, from the traitors. You had a traitor on this, didn't you? Oh, you had a faithful on this?
We did. We had Zach on. You actually could play Paul if there's ever a film of his life. You've got a little bit of the Pauls about you.
I met him recently. I went to see some stand-up and I sat next to him. And I couldn't believe it, you know. Like, with the show and everything, I've gone to some cool events and met some fun, exciting people. But I was so excited, really excited, like proper starstruck to meet Paul. Because I thought he was just such a fun traitor. You know, he did the bow. That will forever live in my mind. And sat next to me. And, I put a selfie of us on Instagram and got a lot of comments that we could be related.
How do you think you would get on as a traitor yourself, Johnny? I know that's a classic question, but...
I think I'd like to be a faithful, really. My ego is like, oh, yeah. Yeah, be a traitor, wouldn't that be great? I'd tell someone. I'd get way too close to someone. I'd forget I'm on TV. I'd forget, okay, you won't bloody believe this. They've only got to pick me. I'm not good at like the whole kind of double bluffing, all of that. It'd be way too stressful. I just loved it. It was brilliant. Claudia, big fan.
And they definitely don't go stay in a Holiday Inn Express every night after filming.
No, we mustn't say that. Oh, what have I said?
Oh, you said too much. Oh, what have I said?
Just quickly, on that final, did you want Harry to win or not? I really did want him to win because I thought this would just be so hilarious.
I felt so sorry for Jazz, you know, because I think Jazz is like man of the people. If Jazz ran for an MP, you know, like I'd vote for him. I think he's a great leader. But Harry just played a blinder.
Yes, he did.
And I also like that there wasn't much of a... Like, Paul was quite conniving, and he was very different when he was a traitor to when he was presenting himself as a faithful. Whereas Harry was just, like, born for that role. Just breezed through it, and now he's off on his private jet. Good luck to him.
Amazing.
Let's move on then to your last TV show, and this is your free hit. Any TV show of any genre, it's the show you couldn't live without.
Okay, so... I think this might be slightly predictable and you might have had it before, so apologies. I don't know if you have. This is a TV show. This would be my mastermind subject. This would be the TV show I would watch if somebody, you know, said you can only watch one TV show for the rest of your life, and that is the BBC sitcom Extras.
We just love Extras. Yes, yes. We really love it. It's it right there in our top two or three ever, isn't it?
I mean, it's just like The Office is obviously unbelievable, but there's something about Extras... I don't know if it's because I'm an actor or what, but it's just the cameos and the stories and the Christmas special is incredible. And it's just become like, I've got so many mates. Well, all we do is just quote Extras, really, in The Office. That's the kind of like fabric of our relationship. And I just think it's brilliant. I think it's so well written and just so funny.
There are so many people who are like The Office stands. I'm very much in the Extras category there. I just think it's fantastic. Every episode has got something different about it. And I'm sure you've experienced the more you kind of work with people in the industry, the more they are absolutely those characters. Like the amount of Ian McKellen in Extras that we've worked with now, it's like, Sir Ian, you shall not, Sir Ian.
Yeah, I think like, you know, when you do a film job, like I was in House of the Dragon for like literally a few seconds. And it's just full of like hilarious characters and people that you sit off. I was at a film recently where I sat opposite Celia Imrie at lunch and had a chat with her. And Extras does really capture the kind of madness of being on set. I also just love like the mix of celebrities that they have in there. One episode is Les Dennis and the next will be Samuel L. Jackson. You know, I did a job last year with Ashley Jensen, right? And we had like 2 hours next to each other. So I love Extras. I grew up watching it. Tell me everything. And she was amazing. She was telling me how it was just like kind of she was a bit of a jobbing actor, was doing things, was not doing things. And then literally the audition just came through for extras. She went down to London, met Ricky Gervais, Stephen Merchant. She got it. And then on her first day, she said she was so nervous because The Office had won the Golden Globes. And like this next thing that Ricky Gervais, Stephen Merchant was doing was huge. But also her first day, the first day of filming was Samuel L. Jackson. The scene where she mistakes him for Lawrence Fishburne. And there's the kind of race stuff. That was her first scene with Samuel Jackson, Ricky Gervais in their second job after The Office.
Wow, that's amazing.
You'd have to have a pint and a half for that, wouldn't you? just to settle the nerves on the day.
To be at optimum level. We truly love it. I don't think anyone's chosen that before.
No, I don't think they have either.
Which is amazing, because as we said, it's right in our top three, so we've never got a chance to properly talk about it. We quote it all the time. It's really difficult now to think off the top of my head some of the best bits, because we literally quote it unconsciously all the time. I mean, Keith Chegwin's pop knob in Fanny, not up the arse. Oh, amazing.
The Les Dennis episode, custard. Oh, custard.
Amazing. Keith Chegwin also, I've just buried my sister today. Straight down the lens key. Whenever we're filming something yesterday.
That's lunch.
And we always look, at the camera. And if we do it by accident, we always say to each other, straight down the lens key.
Straight down the lens key. Keith did it again, Keith. Sad.
At the camera. You've done it again. At the camera. Okay. That's lunch. Is it Keith me or Keith the character?
Keith me or Keith the character. Same Keith, all in one Keith.
We did Panto at the Christmas Gone By, and the character names was Luke and Elliot. And you think, okay, well, let's get past that. And then it's you're being directed. You go, is it Elliot Millie or Elliot the character? I don't know what you're talking about. It's so
brilliant.
Interesting.
Bunny as well. Don't forget Bunny, you know, the Panto director, tits and teeth, and the dance that they do at the house, at the party. Fucking brilliant.
Guilt-free, yummy, yummy, yummy.
Yummy, yummy, yummy.
Oh, it's amazing. It's truly amazing. And as you say, the list of celebrities from A-list to like just British sitcom is brilliant. Like Robert Lindsay, I think he's in the final episode of series two or something, when he keeps going to visit the kid with cancer and the kid doesn't really know who he is.
And he does the whole, and he's like doing anecdotes to the dying child.
About like Laurence Olivier.
Bit of the Lambeth Walk.
And it starts with the Jonathan Ross show, and the kid, and they're backstage of the green room, and the kid comes up and he goes, a bit weird, isn't it? He goes, yeah, a bit presumptuous. He goes, no, a bit weird that he went for you over me. And he goes, maybe he didn't see you. And he goes, I think you're going to notice Robert Lindsay in a room.
My family series one to nine.
Yeah.
Last thing we'll say on it as a quote is whenever we think of, or whenever a homeless person asks for money, you always think of the 20, right, I've got 20 quid, or you got five or something. He goes, you got change? He goes, no, you got choose.
Yeah.
Well, I have 20 then. He goes, right, that's two goes.
Yeah. 2 months of leaving me alone then? What do you mean leave me alone? No, no.
That's a couple of goes, isn't it?
Is that the most anyone's ever given? Somebody gave me 50 once. That's mental.
Let's move on then to your last choice, and this is your second bonus choice, and this is the unlimited food or snack supply item that you can eat throughout the entire weekend. It's all you can eat, and it's all you can eat.
Do I put on weight if I eat it?
Let's say no. No one's ever asked that, but let's say no. It's kind of, you've got a bottomless stomach, so you might as well literally have, you can keep a flat stomach.
Sure. So I've been almost sober for a year, so I get like a really eclectic mix of fancy kind of Hackney Shoreditch craft ale 0%. It's just like a big unlimited mix of fancy indulgent. I'll drink it and think I know what I'm talking about when I, you know, describe the kind of, you know, the flavouring. But I'll just down the whole thing, basically. So just alcohol-free beer. I would like to graze on just multi-packs of crisps, any crisps. And then it will just all lead up to a Sunday roast.
Oh, okay.
It's a three-course meal.
Just very quick.
Oh, is it meant to just be sort of one chocolate
sort of snack? I think the crisp would have done, Johnny, greedy. But now you've got a bottomless stomach. You've got mad.
Okay, so the craft beer, is it one specific thing? Or, you know, when you go to a pub and you get that little wooden pallet with the five holes in, and they put five different small glasses in where you can try different things?
Yeah, let's go with that. Let's have that. But in there, it must include Guinness Zero, which is my favourite thing in the world, and Lucky Saint. They're my two favourites.
Oh, I love Lucky Saint. It's bloody good, isn't it?
Have you been to the Lucky Saint in Great Portland Street, their pub?
I haven't had the pleasure. I haven't been invited.
Let's do it. But like one of those little brew dog palettes, they would be good. So I can sit there and go, oh yeah, that's got a nice sort of deep hazelnut hue and pretend I know what I'm on about. But really, I'll just sort of glove the whole thing down.
You obviously really love the taste of beer, because some people would not go in for that if it's alcohol-free. So you obviously do really genuinely love the taste and flavours.
Yeah, big beer fan. Beer, then wine. You can't really do 0% of wine. It's just, like, weird, I think. There's probably some lovely ones out there. We had to do that a lot in one day. We're in the back to that, back to plug in that.
Shut up about it for 1 second, Johnny?
The date scene was just, like, Heineken Zero and then just, like, red wine. And that was just sort of, like, dense Ribena that taste of like wood.
And your character though, when you do that drinking, is really drunk, isn't he? So that's pretty difficult.
Yeah, he gets quite pissed and merry on the date to try and sort of calm his nerves. But yeah, it's just sort of, I don't know, I mean, I was drunk a lot before I decided to stop drinking, so I just wasn't particularly hard to remember what it was like.
Well, what you needed was some lovely crisps. Now, talking of crisps, you've gone for a multi-pack of crisps. Now, do you want to be more specific? What do you want? Kettle chips have come up a lot. Co-op have come up a lot.
When I was a kid, I used to go around my grandparents, and they had this little tray, and it was split into four, and you'd have, like, Skips, bacon rashers, Wotsits, and then probably just your bog standard salted crisps. And I just remember it being my favourite thing. Just sort of like party bag, kids' party table vibes.
Quickly rank those four in a row.
Skips, Wotsits, bacon rashers, and then your bog standard sort of Walkers.
Nice, done. And your Sunday roast, just your little dessert at the end, the Sunday roast. What roast are we talking?
Probably pork belly with applesauce, crackling.
Oh, wow.
Oh, you dirty bitch.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Straight into the galleries if I'm not, you know. Roast potatoes, veg, gravy, probably a side of cauliflower cheese. That sort of all right. Stick a toffee pudding.
Good snack choice, that.
That's brilliant. That's great. So,
will that be your go-to when you finish the marathon? What have you had twice?
Pizza Express.
Oh, when you cried.
Pizza Express.
Loren, no olives, garlic dough balls, Peroni.
Fish bash,
nice
posh
stuff. Pizza Express Club app, is it?
Yeah, big time. Group on vouchers. My mum's coming up to London. My mum comes up to London. We've been doing this thing for about 15 years now. Come up to London, see a musical, walk her back to Waterloo Station. And every time we could go anywhere, it's always Pizza Express.
I'll tell you what you can do. You can search on Google for the Pizza Express survey and you can get the link. Copy that link. Just do it every time you're about to go 24 hours before Pizza Express. Free Doble voucher every time. And you can do that with other offers.
You're laughing.
Yeah.
Well, if you're not laughing, you're learning.
Yeah, exactly. That's something. You're going to go to Preston for a weekend and you're going to take with you a TV show that makes you think of your childhood. That is Dick and Dom in the Bungalow. You can catch me skateboarding this weekend.
Very skater dude voice.
Yeah, a TV show that gets you laughing. That's Married at First Sight Australia. You're going to be taking Pudsey from Ashley and Pudsey Ashley and Sully with you for the weekend. Your sweating choice is The Traitors UK, but could be tempted to see the other ones if you've got the time to spare. Your free hit is Extras, and your little snack food item is alcohol-free craft beer that does include Guinness 0%. You've got your four pack of crisps, which is Skips, bacon rashers, Wotsits, and your standard Walkers, and your Sunday roast, pork belly, apple sauce, cauliflower cheese, potatoes, the lot. Sound like a good weekend to you?
It's the best weekend of my life.
And you're all alone, apart from a dog, which is exactly what you want. We were afraid you're going to choose your wife. People often do choose their spouses. Boring morons. Not you. You hate her and everyone else around.
I'm there.
And if she was there, you'd have to do a self-tape. Johnny, thank you so much for joining us. You've been a real delight, and thank you.
Thank you, guys. That was great fun. Thanks so much.
We say it all the time, but a lovely, lovely guy. He really was, wasn't he?
Yeah, and funny as well, actually. Really, really funny. I expected him to be funny, but he was terrific. He had our sense of humour.
Yes, absolutely. I wish we could have had more time with him. Great choices as well. Didn't have time to say, but I think that is close to the kind of thing I would bring in. Extras, nobody said before. Dick and Dom the Bungalow. We speak about it at least 2-3 times a week on average. So it would absolutely be up there for us. And again, if we had more time, we'd have gone into all the little niceties and small little things that they did on that show. So good, so funny, so crazy.
That's the sort of show we'd love to have, isn't it, really? Pure anarchic chaos and mess.
Absolutely. A little bit naughty with the food and drink at the end. A little bit naughty, but we'll allow it because there was a little bit of everything, and I do agree with everything. Pork belly, that's your dream, right?
Oh, that's lovely. I thought he was just going to go for classic chicken or beef. No. That was lovely.
I'd go turkey, which I know will turn a few heads.
Yeah, you love turkey.
I think it's sure dry.
I can't stand it. It is. It's so dry. It's so uninteresting. It's grey.
It's a myth. It's a myth that turkey is dry.
I suppose it's how wet your mouth is.
And anything's dry until you put something on it.
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
Even like a nice juicy meat that you would call has got the juices inside. So that just put some juices on it, man.
I know what you're saying. I just don't think I like the flavour personally.
Of turkey?
Yeah, not at all.
It's the same as chicken.
No, it's not quite the same.
Was a little bit more crumbly.
And I don't love roast chicken either, to be honest with you, but that's just me.
Yeah. Well, that's just you. That's your life.
That's me.
That's your meat done your way. What's your favourite meat?
Duck.
Yeah, that's true. True enough. But you wouldn't really have that as a roast dinner, would you?
I mean, I could. I'd love to if I...
We all could if we had the funds.
Had the funds, of course.
But it doesn't happen that
and
often.
And it was socially acceptable.
But for a roast, what would you have?
Well, I'd do a roast duck. I couldn't do it.
Of a conventional roast?
Maybe pork then. Pork, but what really makes it is the crackling and stuff.
Yeah, I like pork belly like as a starter in like a small cube, but I do get quite bored of pork as a main meat, if I'm honest.
Yeah. Well, that was Johnny. He's starring in One Day, which is currently streaming on Netflix. We don't need to plug it anymore because it is absolutely massive at the moment. Nice story there about his self-tape. He could clear up what Lorraine couldn't. We are clearly a better journalist than her. We did a self-tape recently for I won't say the brand, but a rather famous chocolate two-stick-based bar.
And it wasn't Twirl.
And we didn't get it, but it was one of those classic situations where you get something through at short notice, you've got to do it, even though you don't want it, because you can't do the recalls because you're going to Iceland. And you know you're not going to get it anyway because you don't fit the bill.
Yeah, and if you are in Iceland, you have to fly back because the money's too good to ignore.
Yeah, anyway, didn't matter because we didn't get it.
Didn't matter. Had a nice time in Iceland.
I look forward to seeing the advert for Twix come out. Johnny can be found on socials. We did it at the start, but we'll do it quickly now. His socials are at Johnny Weldon on Insta and at Johnny Weldon on X and TikTok. Actually, I should say the first one, Insta, is Johnny with an extra Y after his Y in the name.
And if you do that, please go on to his socials and donate to his marathon cause, a really good cause, a cause close to his heart as well and to his family. So donate, you pricks.
And he might wear something mad and crazy, he said.
Yeah, we'll have to come up with something for him and Wizard across. I think £1,000...
Wizard, good idea. Wizard of Oz.
I think £1,000 is a bit... too small amount
too late,
to wear anything. to wear anything.
Yes.
Because something heavy, I think I'd rather wear something obscene than something heavy.
What would be obscene?
Well, like an inflatable phallus. That's like a standard funny answer that people do. Yeah, wear that blow up willy.
Not funny to me.
It's not funny to me.
Inflatable knobs, not funny.
Not funny.
Not up the arse.
Not up the arse.
That's an extras callback, okay? Not just being vulgar for the sake of it, as the Daily Telegraph have called this podcast.
What are we at on socials? On Instagram, at Luke and Elliot Comedy, and on TikTok, at Luke and Elliot.
Yep.
We've had to start that, haven't we?
Yep. Good brand fluidity.
Much to our own dismay. I know, and I'm trying to get Instagram to get rid of that other Luke and Elliot account.
I know, we're trying week by week. Okay, we'll be back next week for even more podcast content. That was Johnny Weldon. We've been Luke and Elliot. And a jolly good night, good afternoon, good morning to you. Bye.